to all of you. We're a little slow this morning. I know there are some that are slow, but it seems like we're all kind of slow this morning. So, yeah. I want to tell you what's coming. We're not at the end of the year yet, but I want to tell you, God has done a lot of things for us as a church. And I think he's done a lot of things, from what I'm hearing, for a lot of us. And those things, and some of us have went through hard times and some trials, and some of us are still going through those things, and those things are going to happen because it's part of life. But I want you to turn over to John 15 today. I want to talk to you because sometimes we have a tendency to think that everything that we have a tendency to think that if something bad happens to us, that is a result of sin, or something that is taken away from us as a result of something that we did wrong, or something that we don't like is because Satan is attacking me and those kind of things. Now, some of those things, they have a place. They have a place. You mess around and you play around with sin and you let temptation and you fall into temptation. Yeah, there's going to be some consequences. But sometimes it's not that you are sinning. It's not because somebody you're being persecuted or what have you. But I want to read a few scriptures here in 15 today that I hope that that you get today as you grow in your walk with the Lord. As we say, that ministry can be hard, but it's okay. But ministry can be hard. Being a Christian and trying to live out what God has called you can be hard. Okay? And then we see this piece in John chapter 15, where it's like, wow, we got even that up on top of us. But I'll tell you from the very beginning, it's going to be okay. All right? In John chapter 15, Jesus is speaking. He says, I am the true vine. In verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch of me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. We're looking at this thing as a garden piece, is what we're looking at it today. We're looking at vines, okay, the vine dresser, somebody that takes care of vines, okay? That would be God, okay? And we are these branches that come off of these vines. And if you know anything about landscaping, you know anything about those things, sometimes they need to be pruned. They just do. It amazes me that we don't hear pruning much in preaching today. We don't hear about spiritual warfare. We don't hear about pruning. We don't hear about those kind of things. What we continue to hear about is everything that's for me. But pruning is a part of a true Christian's life. Let me just tell you right now, everything you do isn't going to end up the way you thought it was going to be. Everything that you put your back into doesn't mean it's going to turn out the way that you thought it was going to be. And everything that you do, every time you go up to the plate, you're not going to hit a home run. In fact, you're not always going to get on base. And you're going to wonder, why do I not get on base? I used to be a big hitter for God. Well, these scriptures tells us and shows us some things that we need to remember, because when we get into ministry and we're doing what God called us to do, we're like, man, I found out what my spiritual gifts are. I've got a place I'm serving in the church. I feel like I'm in. I know what I'm doing. Here we go. And then, boom, you do good for a while, and then something happens. And so many Christians say, what did I do? Some people point a finger. Is that person sinning? They got some unknown sin in their life they're not dealing with, unconfessed sin. They've got those. The devil's always attacking. This is why you have to listen to the Holy Spirit. You cannot discern these things without the Holy Spirit. You need to know who He is. You need to know who He is. And how do you know who He is? You read about Him. You study it. You talk to Him. You pray to the Lord. You converse. You do those things. It's a day in and a day out thing, not just on a one day a week or anything. You converse with the Lord, Christ, and the Holy Spirit. You're not going to know if you don't converse and you don't pray and you don't read and you don't study. It's not. And when things come up, you're always going to think it's the devil's attacking. Sometimes it's not that the devil is attacking. Sometimes God is just pruning. I used to do landscaping, and I went to this lady, had a great, they called them knockout roses. They were double knockout roses, which means they were to bloom great. And we would go in there, and I'd look at it, and I would be able to go through all these, and I would say, you know, I'm going to prune these today. Oh, wow, they look so beautiful. Why are you going to prune them today? Because, listen, this is the end of it. If I don't prune them, you're not going to get that third part where they're just going to, you're not going to get that last end of the year, boom, you're just not going to get it. You're going to wonder why everybody else's roses are doing great, and yours is not, yours is doing okay. And sometimes we even got to prune them, not just the heads, but all the way back, where there's nothing. You can't almost see no greenery. You can't see even, it almost sometimes it looks like you can't even see any greenery when you even prune the roses. But you're preparing them for the spring. And sometimes God is doing that. But he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Fruit is the key word here. Fruit is a word we're going to see. Fruit comes off of the branches. We see that. I can't read all the scriptures because we don't have time for all of them, but I'm going to skip over a few. I'm going to go to verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. That's who Jesus says. Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him together bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. So if you're going to get it, if you're in ministry, you can't just get God in the beginning. You can't get Christ in the beginning of it or the Holy Spirit. You got to keep him in it the whole time. You got to work with him all the time, which means you need to listen, because outside of him, you can do nothing. Yes, you can put a good band up here and you can draw a crowd, but that doesn't mean you're doing what God's called you to do. That doesn't mean you're doing, that doesn't mean you're producing and bearing fruit. The fruit is important to God. Bearing fruit. But he says bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. And we want, as we say, this church should be bearing fruit. Not just fruit, but much fruit. And sometimes we all look at it differently and we wonder sometimes why certain things are cut out. That we bear much fruit. And sometimes we're in a ministry, you as a person, in your own personal life, there's a job that you really, really want. And I can relate to that. There was a job that I really, really wanted. It was laid in front of me. And it's been a couple of times before pastoring. It was laid in front of me. And God had a different plan. And he takes that branch, he just cut it off. And I didn't go in that direction anymore. But then when I got into the ministry, I began to do that. And so that old branch, it's gone. But now there's other branches coming up. I'm doing good. And all of a sudden, I'm in the children's church area. Pay attention to me, staff. I'm in the children's church area. And I'm doing great. I'm doing great. And it's up to where I want it to be. And it's like 25, 30 kids. And I'm like, yeah, we're knocking the ball out. We're reaching more kids. Here it is. And all of a sudden, I was told, you're going to change ministries. What? That's my best. That's my best part of me being on the branch. And there was a lot of fruit coming off of that. And then all of a sudden now you're going to work into youth. I said, what? I'm going to work with youth. And I went from that 20 to 25, 30 at times. And I had to hand that over to somebody else. Then it was there. It was shadowing me. And I didn't even realize it for a while. And I had to step into another ministry where I had one person. One person. And people say, well, that's just, oh my goodness, why would you do that? Because listen, God's fruit, it looks different than the world's fruit. God's fruit is different than the world's fruit. And he wants to bear much fruit through us. So I began with one person, the most introverted person. I don't think she talked for 6 months except hi, goodbye. That was it. It was really hard. But so it took me to get out into the streets, and I was doing that, playing basketball on the courts, and actually I was in this town doing those things. So I'm in the youth group now, and I'm getting it up to a point. I'm raising up a Sunday school class where we just didn't have a high school Sunday school class. I had so many, I was getting a junior high Sunday school class. And I said, I can't do it all, so I raised up another person, and there we go, and we're doing that, and it's rising up, and we were having a good youth group, and then God cuts that right off. Now he calls me to go into preaching. And I had a great youth group, and it was really awkward for me because they met across the street. I felt divided from them. And then I was called to preach. I didn't know what I was doing. And the first time they put me in the pulpit was a Sunday night. I had six people. Six people. And they like sit one over there, one over there, one. And they were just so scattered. But in my first preaching, someone come to the Lord. And still walking in a church today. And I look at that. Why did God cut those branches in my life? Because I had to get out of the way because he wanted somebody else to do that. That their branches might, because they were probably pruned prior, or they were just, God was beginning to fertilize them. And now he wants them to go to do some ministry work. And many times it was for the first time, and I had to get out of the way. My branches was overshadowing the light coming over to their branch, and God has to cut that. So their ministry, their vine, their branches part can grow. So fruit can grow off of them. Are we here this morning? Y'all want to bear good fruit for God? Listen, there's been some things in my life that has been cut off. I don't always understand it, but I do know this. When I don't know what it is, Lord, is this of you? I'm going to go to the Lord in my conversations. Lord, is this of you? Now, discernment will the Holy Spirit will speak to you on that. But if it, in the beginning, it can look like, Lord, where's this coming? I'm getting hit from the side. I don't understand why the pastor came and told me that, because some of you have a hard time when I ask you to make an adjustment in your ministry. It's never been about, I don't say this in a bad way, but it's never been about the one branch. It's been about the vine. It's been about the vine dresser, God, and what he's going to get off of his vineyard. And he wants his vineyard to bear much fruit. And there's times when the vine dresser is going to come through and clip off some beautiful things. So that sun ray and all that can hit some of those other branches. It's been kind of in the shadows. And they can't. Until you get out of the way. Until you kind of. And then it's where you, I don't understand. I got to step aside. Listen, there are things in ministry. Not everything has worked here. Not everything that I have led works here. Somebody asked me the other day, what do you think about your multi-sites? I said, listen, there's times when you need what we call a loss in your ministry. You need a loss. I felt like Fort Wayne was like, you need a loss. Well, why would you need a loss in ministry? So that you don't stop going to the Lord. So that you understand that it's bigger than yourself. That those things, it also tests people when they go out to those places. They have an opportunity to let that, the God, and it doesn't mean that someone was wrong, someone was right. The whole vine, the whole vineyard is bigger than what we know. And what we can comprehend. And the vine dresser is going to come by and he's going to clip at times. And it's not always going to feel good. I know I put some of you into a place where you felt uncomfortable. Some of you have gotten angry with me. Some of you got upset with me. Some of you, I've offended you in some ways. I want to tell you, if you pointed at me, that's okay. But I just ask the Lord to reveal to you that we need to understand that just because things happen doesn't mean you're doing a bad job. If someone comes to you and say, listen, have you ever thought about making an adjustment and a movement to a different ministry? Listen, whatever you do for the Lord, don't think you're going to do that forever sometimes. You're just not. And it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. He goes on in verse 7. He says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you together. I mean, once again, we can't do this without the Lord. We can't do this without Jesus. He says, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Why? Because you're in the vine. You can ask the Lord and it will be done. Listen, it will be done. Let me tell you something really quick. Listen, last week, Ben here? Ben. Monday morning, what was our count last Friday? What was our count last Friday? $1,300? We had $1,300 in our ministry funds. $1,300. That's not enough to take care of business for 1 week. We had $1,300. So what do? You try to do what you can do. You pray about it. You do what you can do and the power that the Lord's given you. But you always need to go to the Lord. So begin to pray about it. Begin to pray about it. Pray about it. I've learned these days not to stress over those things because God has shown himself to be faithful every time. And then it was yesterday, Friday, we ended up depositing $4,000. And why is that? Because we asked. We put our effort into it. Me and Ben were putting together some efforts a week before trying to figure this out. We really didn't call anybody, but we put some things, feelers out there, whatever, and God just took care of it. Because listen, if you are you're a branch and you are abiding in Christ and you're doing what he has called you to do and he is working in there with you, listen, it says you will bear fruit. And God says, I want much fruit. I want you to bear much fruit. So if you don't have what you need, you ask for it because God says, I want it to be done because I want fruit. And it shall be done for you. But verse 8 says, by this my Father is glorified. What? That's what we, did you know we just did that? I shared with you what we didn't have and shared with you what God brought us and experiencing that scripture. He says that we should ask for it and he gives it to us and we bear much fruit. And I'm telling you, so the ministry goes on for another week. And we gave him glory. We glorified him by saying he answered that prayer. He says, by this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit. So if you're about the Lord's business and you're doing what he's called you to do, you ask and he'll see that you get and you have what you need. And there are times, not that he shows favoritism, but God gives favor. You can look at that through many people who have Gideon asking for something extra and got it. Abram asking for something extra and got Lot asking for something extra and gave it. Listen, you ask the Lord what you need, but it's okay to ask him what you want at times. God loves to give. He wants you to bear much fruit. He says that. So you will be my disciples. He's been working with these disciples. He says, I'm expecting you to bear much fruit. And you that know your Bible, did they not bear much fruit from the book of Acts on? Did they not bear much fruit? But what happened before that? It seemed like everything in their life was being cut off. Where did some of them go back to? They went back to fishing. There was some pruning. Physically, Jesus was pruned out of their life physically so that he said, I have to go so that the comforter would come. He's not coming unless I leave. So there's a big part that was cut out of their life, and it was Jesus being cut out physically out of their life. Somebody that they would eat with every day, talk with, teach, all those things. And then all of a sudden, it looks like nothing's going on. We're going back to fishing. And then Jesus shows up again, and then we see in Acts chapter, oof, there it goes. The day of Pentecost, they receive the Holy Spirit, and all of a sudden, it's a great preaching, and the church explodes, people getting saved, and all of that. And next thing you know, fruit is everywhere. But it had to be pruned first. And we don't like pruning. Amen. We don't like pruning. I don't like pruning. But after many years of doing this, I begin to see sometimes, I don't always catch it at the first part of it, but God cools my jets at times and says, hey, this isn't about you. This is about my vineyard. And you're kind of getting in the way. We need some people. And you're overshadowing some people. And the ministry's over. It's time to give that up and do whatever God's calling. Sometimes when God calls you to do something and give something up, he doesn't always tell you what you're going to do next. You just got to trust him. Doesn't always mean you get your handing off the baton. Sometimes he says, hand the baton off. And you're like, well, what am I doing now? Just hold tight. Because sometimes God is working with somebody else that needs to get rid of that. He's pruning over there. And before you get to do what you need to do, he's dealing with that person. It's much bigger. The vineyard is much bigger than just me or you or New Life or even Huntington. The vineyard is worldwide, universal wide. But he says, By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit. In verse 15, no longer. Now, there's a relationship between him and the disciples that there's a part here that becomes very hard. There's a song that I've always struggled singing here. It is Friend of God. I've always struggled with that because there comes a place where you just, sometimes some of you, I think I heard one or two other people say, man, I just don't like feel like I'm a friend of God. I feel like I'm a servant, I'm not a slave. I'm just, he's God, he's everything. And he is. But here it is. He says, no longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But because we are believers and we're following Christ, we begin to understand because of the word of God, we read it. We begin to know what God wants from us. How to live, what to do, how to work through some ministries and those kind of things. And he says, but I have called you friends. For all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Hasn't the Lord made known to you a lot of things? Things you're probably not, I mean, just his word is a blessing. It's the biggest, it's just a huge blessing in every believer's life. It is the path, it is the book, it is the words, a pathway and how to live a life that God calls us to live. And the Bible also says that we are to share our burdens with one another. Did not Jesus share some things with these men? But the men were always wanting to be first. Who's going to sit at your right? Who's going to sit at your left? Those things. But these men, Jesus would say, my heart is distressed. Can you pray with me for a while? Just sit here. Just be awake. They became friends. And I do like the song, Friend of God. It's awesome. But maybe you feel like I do sometimes. I don't always feel like the best friend that I can be to God. He is always forgiving, yet I am not always forgiving. He is always loving, yet I'm not always loving. His judgments are true and right, and mine are not always right. But he is a friend of all friends. Bible says he even sticks closer than a brother. That he is the truest friend of all because when we bail on him, the Bible says he'll never leave us nor forsake us. When we do wrong, he is still there in our biggest fan. When the world walks away and persecutes us or every family walks away and doesn't want to be a part of us no more, we burn all the bridges that we have. There's still one bridge that's still there. I believe Christ wants to be our friend. But we struggle allowing him in. We struggle getting closer to him. Because I will tell you this, the closer you draw to Christ, the more your junk gets revealed. It's just an automatic. It's just because he's holy and he's God, he's perfect. And you have to deal with that. You can't run from that. But I believe Jesus at this point says, these guys, boys, you're my friends. You're my friends. That was a huge piece for them. Because here's the problem today. Most people don't have friends. They have a lot of acquaintances. And listen, those people on Facebook, it's just, if you deleted them today, are they going to call you? No. A friend is there through your times of loss and your hurts and your pains and your struggles. They show up. They're praying for you. They're working. All these people say, oh, I'm going to pray for you. Listen, when you tell somebody you're going to pray for them, just stop and pray for them right there and then, because a lot of times we forget. And a friend will do that. Verse 9 says, If you were of the world, the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. That we need to know this, that God's pulled us out of the world. Jesus has pulled us out of the world, put us in this new vineyard, and we're to grow and to bear fruit. But the world is not going to love us for that because our fruit is different than their fruit. We are not of the world, and the world does hate us. But we are commanded to love. We're commanded to share the gospel. We're commanded, and that's part of the fruit that comes off of the branch. That's part of the fruit that comes off of the branch. And over in John chapter 16, verse 33. Ministry, I say, ministry is hard. Living the Christian life is hard. But it's okay. It's all right. It's all right. Jesus is going to tell us it's all right. Verse 33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. Listen, whatever you're going through, there is always, no matter how hard it is, somewhere, a loss of a loved one, a brokenness, a loss of a job, whatever it may be, going through a divorce, whatever it is. There is something in a believer that truly knows who God is, has the Holy Spirit. There's something inside of them that they cannot, you'll know it as you know it as a believer. It is the peace of God that can be there no matter what kind of storm, no matter what kind of darkness you're going through. There is a peace that you know that is stable through all storms of life. And that only is given through Christ, and that is the peace. And that you may have peace in the world. And if you don't have peace today, there's something wrong. It doesn't mean that you're the happiest person today. We go through bad things. As it says this, in the world you will have tribulation. You will have tribulations. You will have bad days. You will have a few disasters in your life. And you will have some tragedies in your life. And you will be broken from time to time. You will have those things. But let me tell you, that should not be the norm. You will have them, but that should not be the norm. It shouldn't be. Because he says this. He says, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Be of good cheer. Hang in there, buddy. Hang in there, girl. You can do this thing. Yeah, it's going to be tough today, but I'm telling you, the sun comes up in the morning. And we got to be ready. We know that it's going to be hard. It's going to be tough when your bank account says, I don't know what bill I'm going to pay. Some of them are on strike, whatever it may be. And without judging, whatever it is, listen, if you were in those shoes, you might think differently. People that lose loved ones just don't need you to show up at the funeral. They need a card or a phone call or, hey, how's it going? A week, 2 weeks, two months, 10 months later. But it shouldn't be the norm for pain and suffering and tribulation and bad days to last day after day after day after day. Yes, there's a time of mourning. There's a time of hurts and pains. Sometimes it takes a little time to get out of it. But I want to tell you what Jesus says. He says, you be of good cheer. You're not of the world. You're of my kingdom, and my kingdom is eternal. And because if you receive Jesus Christ, the promise tells us that we have everlasting life with the Father, and we'll go into heaven, and we are part of God's children as ambassadors of Jesus Christ. And he says, I have, why? Because I have overcome the world. And when God says, I have overcome the world, when Christ says it, it means he has overcome the world. This is his world, people. This is his world. Even though the Prince of Darkness runs around and does all this garbage stuff, pulling people and tempting people and making it as dark as it can be, listen, Jesus still has overcome the world. And if you got problems, you need to take him to the cross. You need to take him to Christ because he is the overcomer. If you're living in defeat, I'm telling you, you are not living in the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit. You are not living in the power of the Holy Spirit. You're living in the ways of the world. You're letting the flesh lead you instead of the Spirit lead you. And when your flesh leads, you're a sinking Titanic, and there's nothing you can do to resurrect that except come to Jesus Christ. Nothing can fix our bank accounts except Jesus Christ. I have been in front of millionaires, people that none of us ever could get into those rooms. You go into a room where someone is sitting, has a picture of them with George W. Bush and Senior, both Bushes and their wives, and it's you and your wife. That's a dinner of six with people serving. Who sits at a table with the Bushes? You got to be somebody. Oh yeah, I'm behind Michael. Jordan is there with a picture of him, and he says, this is my best friend. It was my best friend. It was Charles Heston. I'm sitting in that room, and he builds a stadium out of his own money. I'm sitting in his office in his house, and he says, I suppose you come here for funding. A friend of mine got me a moment, and we talked about it. And there's a whole lot more going into that. And I walked out of that, house, and God hit me with it. He said, listen, don't you ever go in and think some man's going to supply you. I told you back in 2005, I will supply you. I am your supplier. Don't rely on the people. Do not rely on the world. You rely on me and I'll get you out of everything the world puts you in. So what does that mean? It means this. He was telling me that I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. I don't want the funds if it's not the Lord being a part of it. And he says, and if you abide in me and my words abide in me, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. So I asked the Lord, Lord, what do you want? You keep moving forward. But don't you think that one person is going to do that? I got that. Oh, I had that another time when it happened, when me and Brandy went up to United Way to walk through and do stand in front of some grant board and we didn't get it. And I walked away and I know there was be a discouragement there, but I walked away and I felt it again. The Holy Spirit said, do not think that they run the ministries. I do. Do not think they're going to fund you. I will fund you. And now, do we get grants? Do we get funding from places? Yes, yes. But here's the key: it is don't put all your hope into a grant bin. Don't put all your hope into this company or into this partner. Listen, you put your hope in Christ, because He says, "Without me, you can do nothing." And if it's going to be on that His branch, it's got to be right. Listen to me. If you catch anything, if you're going to be on His vine, your branch better be right, because if not, He comes along, He cuts it off. He cuts it off. And sometimes He cuts people out of your life. And what He means by that is just saying, listen, you don't need to be in that group no more. You don't need to be a part of that no more. Sometimes God is taking jobs away from people. Listen, if you come and believe, I'm not going there, so let's just do this. How many of y'all know that you've been pruned from time to time? You know what pruning is. Okay. You need to know what pruning is. Listen, the pruning days are not over. They're not over. Okay. It's over when we get to go see Jesus. Okay. We get transplanted. We get transplanted and we get put over here. But as long as we're on this vine in this world right now, God says, listen, He prunes that it may bear much, that you may bear much fruit. In Him you bear, if you bear much fruit, you cannot do anything without Him. But by this my Father is glorified that you bring, or that you bear much fruit. He wants you to bear fruit. And sometimes for you to bear fruit, He's got to cut. He's got to trim. He's got to change what you're doing. He's got to change a position at your work. He's got to change a position in your church. He's going to change it. He's going to cut. And sometimes it's the most beautiful part. And that's where our faith has to ignite. This is what Joseph, Lord, you giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And if you know anything about Job, yes, that was a spiritual attack and that was a demonic attack, but God allowed it. But the end of it, the second half of his life was much more beautiful than the first half. David was a shepherd boy, pruned it, and became a king. God has a plan for you. It's not that you got to find it here. It's already there. Holy Spirit has it. He'll reveal it. Sometimes we're in a place where we're just like, I haven't seen fruit, Pastor, in 6 months. Okay. It's okay. It's okay. Sometimes it takes that long for God to get that stuff out of your head, how awesome you were back then, to humble you, to get you ready for the next thing. Because if you aren't humble in this next moment, you won't know how to take it, because it's going to be so awesome. And God doesn't want a proudful person doing that. So my question for you today is, where is your relationship with God?